Amen. Awesome, guys. It's very rare that I am here. Most of the time when I'm not up here leading and singing, I am on vacation. So for me to be here and be able to just sit back and worship, you know, from the congregation standpoint and watch this awesome team we have is just it amazes me. I was in practice this morning, standing back. We had all the lights off in here, and I just stood back there by that door. It was really dark, and just you know, I just started booing for a minute because I take for granted, you know, the skills that we have here. You know, none of our team has really been doing it long. I think Derek on the guitar over there maybe have been in it the longest. He's probably, I'm not going to say the most skilled, but he's definitely got some juice in his fingers to make his fingers do things that I wish mine would do. I wish I could, like, have just a little bit of it. Anywho, we have awesome things going on here at Reedy Fork. I am, I'm thankful to be a part of it. You know, we've got an awesome story of where God has brought us, and in just a few short years, you know, the church has been around. It'll be 11 years at the end of, hey, Ryan, your iPad is ringing here, buddy. It's your brother. I'm going to mute it for you, all right? Yeah, that's good. But the church will be 11 years old. At the end of this month. I'm sorry. We just celebrated 11 years. We'll be in this building 2 years at the end of this month, and just to know and see what God is doing as far as our expansion out here. We've met with the contractor the past 2 weeks. Just moving forward with that. Derek's going to present some stuff next week about. The process that we're going to take and you know, the financial information and all that good stuff. So the fact that, you know, we've been here for 2 years and it was almost immediately that God was filling up these two rooms out here and we needed to build more rooms for the kids. And it's just more and more people are coming in here. My wife, she was supposed to have been in the service this morning and she actually ended up having to go into the nursery because they needed more help. And this morning she's holding our littlest girl because right now they've got 9 babies in there already, and 3 people can't hold but so many babies. It's easy for us to complain, like, we need more room, but at the same time, it's like, praise God, we need more room, you know? So it's super exciting. This week, last week, Derek finished the series Gray Matter, talking about the Corinthian grid and going through Corinthians and, you know, how we are to live our lives as Christians, the way people perceive us and the way that we are to interact with people in the way that we shine God's light in our daily lives. This week, I had the openness to just do whatever I wanted to. And I told the first service, there was a song that I heard. It's probably about a year and a half old now, but earlier in the year, I heard this song. It may have been the second or third time I'd heard it ever. But I was riding down the road, and it was like, bam, it really just it spoke to me. The message, it touched my heart, and I decided, you know, the next time I get the privilege to preach, which isn't often when Derek goes on vacation, so this shows you how often he vacations. So we need to give him more time off, right? But I said, you know what, I'm going to connect this song with a sermon, and I'm going to talk about love. The sermon is called Pieces, and it's I'm super excited to share it with you. I'm excited to share a song that's going to go with it. The praise team has put in a lot of effort in learning this song. Laura, she's gonna lead it. But before we get into it, I want you to go into today open-minded. When we talk about love, it's easy for us to say, "Hey, I've got it under control. I know what love is." I told somebody earlier, love is a fragile thing that we take for granted a lot of times. we tend to think we've got it all under control, and most of the time we don't know what in the world we're doing. Love can hurt us. Love can build us up and build others up. And we've got to allow God's love to come in and be ruler over all of it so that it is good, because God is good and God is love. Amen. So we're going to read out of 1 Corinthians 13. This is a very popular scripture. I'm going to read straight through it, and then we're going to break it down a little bit, verse by verse. And then after we get through, I'm actually going to have the praise team come up here, and they're going to sing the song and play the song as kind of like a reflection time for you guys to just sit there and embrace the words and the music and allow God to speak to you through the song. So that's, we're going to tie that into the message. So 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, it says, "If I speak human or angelic tongues but do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions and if I give over my body in order to boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, it is not boastful, it is not arrogant, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not irritable, and does not keep record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect time comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put aside childish things. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will fully know as I am fully known. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." I love love. There is a time in life. I had a conversation several months ago with a couple of my youth. They said they loved each other and they were ready to spend the rest of their life with each other. At 13 years old, I believe that is a little young. So I said, "No, you don't." And even as you get older, you know, you think you got it under control. When I asked Amber to marry me, I thought I knew what love was, but I didn't know what love was until after I married her and as we started to really love each other. You know, as you spend more time with each other, as you spend time around each other and learn each other and realize that, hey, her putting up with me is love, right? So, hey, man. Yep, it's my buddy. All right, we're going to start with verse 1. "If I speak human or angelic tongues, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal." There's a lot of nonsense that comes out of our mouth. When I hear this right here, I think of my daughter. She's got a bunch of, like, a music set with, like, different instruments, like the kazoo, which is one of her favorite lately, which I don't like because it just drives me crazy. But she has these little cymbals with the little things on them, you know, like the marching band cymbal. It looks like the monkey things, you know, that just goes around. Well, it can be completely quiet in the house, and she's like, "Hey, Daddy, look." And, you know, it starts making a lot of noise. And so, "If I speak in human or angelic tongues but do not have love, I'm nothing." So pretty much, you know, you can have the presence or the you can look like you're speaking of wisdom and knowledge and beauty just comes out of your mouth. But if it is not in love, then all you are is racket, pretty much. You know, my dad, you know, all kids, you hear it growing up, you know, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all. I think that still holds true for me today, and that's one of the reasons why if you upset me, it's easier for me to just walk away, because I do tend to I told somebody the other day, told my anger, I don't remember who it was, but one of the things that I struggle with is when I get mad, I walk away. And when me and Amber first got married, I used to do that. You know, I'd get mad and I'd be like, I just need to walk away and I need to breathe for a minute. And, you know, over time I started realizing that's not the way you need to handle that situation. You need to sit down and talk about it and share where your feelings are at. Anyway, verse 2, if I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions and if I give over my body in order to boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. A lot of us, we give because we want to accept something in return. I have always enjoyed receiving gifts. It was as a kid, you know, you look forward to Christmas, waking up on Christmas morning because you know it's all about you. You've got a bunch of gifts in the my parents used to do the living room, and then Santa Claus would leave stuff in the living room, and it was, you know, just a blessing of presents just for me and my brothers. They got to share all my stuff with me because it was all for me. But, you know, as we get older, we tend to want to give and hoping to receive. And a lot of ways, our love is like that. Our love, whether it's a friendship love, whether it's marital love, or family love. Family love it starts out tighter because, you know, as a child, you know, there's my youngest right there, Adeline. I love her because, one, I made her. Well, God made her. I give him the credit for it, but I kind of helped a little bit. and, you know, it's just unconditional love, right? And there's nothing that she can do in return for me that's going to make me want to love her more or less. Sometimes, you know, when she aggravates me by crying, I tend to get a little frustrated, but I don't love her less, except for a moment. not really. She's a blessing. But we tend to want to give with the hoping to receive. And love is not like that. Love is saying, you know, I love you. I want to show you my love, and I give this to you with no strings attached. Amber and myself celebrated our 7th anniversary being married this past Monday. And last Sunday after church, we took off to Boone, just her and I, and spent the night. And there was an agreement that we made, kind of like, hey, we just bought a dryer. Our old dryer went out, so we had to buy a dryer. And that was not anything we were expecting financially to happen. So we said, you know, for anniversary, you know, we just that'd just be the dryer, and we'll do this quick overnight trip kind of thing. Well, I got there, you know, I had a gift wrapped up and put it in the back of the car. And when we got there, we got to the hotel we were staying at, and she opened up the back. She said, "What's that?" I'm like, "It's just a little something, you know," but I told her as we went upstairs in the room, and later that night I let her open it, and I said, "Baby, I don't care if you got me anything or not. The joy that I get in giving you this gift and seeing you smile is the gift that I want in return. Just knowing that you're happy." And the same way with God's love. God's love is an unconditional love. It's love that with no ends, no matter how many times we hurt him or we try to run from him, and sometimes we slander him and we curse him. And no matter what, he's always there for us. He's always going to love us. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It is not boastful. It is not arrogant. It is not rude, and it is not self-seeking. We're... as humans are self-seeking. I was very self-centered when I was younger. I thought a lot of myself, and I wasn't much of anything. But you know, I told the first service I was mean in middle school because I was always searching to look cool, I guess. I would see somebody that was easy to make fun of, and I'd put them down, or I would make fun of them. And for some reason, I thought that would make me look like I'm a better person, or I'm a cooler person that want to hang around. And, you know, by the time I got to high school, you know, I was done with that. I was like, that's just childish. But there's so many times in life where I have want the good for me, not concerned about anything else or anybody else. And if I were to connect that and being self-seeking and being prideful with my life with God's love for me, I would say, you know, me not acknowledging that He is in control of my life and that He loves me more than I could ever imagine Him loving me is selfishly saying, God, I don't need you. And when we come to the point where we say, God, I've got this, that's when you need Him the most. And our pride is most of the time what ends up pulling us away. It is not irritable and does not keep record of wrongs. That one right there is what really gets me, and it's a line in the song as well. There's another song that we used to sing a lot, but it has that line in there: "You keep no record of my sin." And a lot of times in relationships, whether it's friendship, marriages, when we do something to hurt somebody, it's so hard to gain that trust back. I had a student ask me a couple weeks ago. She texted me. She said, "Hey, how do I get so-and-so to trust me again?" And I said, "Well, you don't just walk up to them and say, 'Hey, you can trust me now,' because that doesn't work. If I am a cookie fanatic, right? Before Amber and myself started doing the healthy kick again, working out and eating right, we would do the break and bake Pillsbury things regularly, like almost twice a night. I'm just kidding, just once. But they're so good. But I have them down pat. Like, I don't have to look at the package. I just break them up. I put them in the oven, and there's a timer. And I'd say, all right, it's 11 minutes, and then once the timer goes off, you count to 10 seconds, then you can take them out. And if you don't do that, then they're too crispy. You know, I like them a little gooey in the middle and whatnot. But if Amber were to burn those cookies, you know, I don't think I could ever forgive her, because that's something that I hold dear to me. But in seriousness, Tuesday night, Kylie kept telling Amber, like, they were running or something, you were faster than she was, and she said, "Mommy, I'm mad at you." And she just kept going on and on and on, and she wanted her to know that, "Hey, I'm mad at you." And then she'd come to me, and she's all fine. She said, "I'm not mad at you, Daddy. I'm just mad at Mommy." And then she'd come to the point, she said, I don't love Mommy right now. And then, you know, Amber, we thought it was funny at first, but you could tell it was like, Callie, that is not nice. That's not nice. You're supposed to forgive Mommy. I said, "What did Mommy do?" She beat me to the door or something like that. I don't even remember what it was. But we tend to want to remember and hold on to those things. And when in reality, it's actually doing more damage to ourselves, because we're sitting there pondering on everything that has happened when we should have let go of that the instant that it happens. I had a situation with somebody that I had to tell a student that they couldn't go to camp, and we were on our way down there, and one of the other students told me, he said, "Hey, look at this post that so and so put on Snapchat or Instagram or something," and the first line is, "I'm so mad," and she said, "I will never forgive you. I will hold a grudge." I mean, she actually said that, "I will hold a grudge, and I don't know when I'll stop being mad." And I just looked at that, and I'm like, wow, that is just so hard and bitter and hateful. And to begin with, it wasn't me. She's the one that, you know, called herself to not be able to go to camp. But for me to be in a place where I have to say that to somebody, you have to be in such a low place. There comes a time when things in life don't go the way that you want them to. There may be steps or processes that maybe didn't turn out the way that you wanted them to. And as times change and progress is made, people move on, and sometimes it's time for you to move on. Because when you don't, you start pushing away the ones that you do love. The ones who have always been there for you. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. You know, when me and Amber got married, I took her to, engaged. I took her to Tanglewood. It was December 18th, right? Brownie points. 11th. There was another significant 8 on the 18th. I get them mixed up. No brownie points. But we went to Tanglewood and did dinner and stuff that night. And while we were away, I had her dad put in, it was like 200 balloons and like 300 roses or whatever, but they were just scattered all over the place in her apartment, like the shape of a heart in the floor and everything. And when we come walking in, she's like, "Oh, did you do this?" I'm like, "No, are you serious?" we walked in there and you know, she was looking around and stuff, and I pulled out a box and did the whole, "Hey, you gonna be my best friend forever?" And she said no, but I'm just kidding. She said yes, and we sit down, and immediately we started talking. That was one of the reasons why I didn't want to do it around family or in a big scene or whatever, because I had always imagined myself, whenever I did propose to my wife, whoever she may be, that it was going to be more talking involved instead of just the celebration of, "Hey, we're going to join our lives together." And one thing I told her, I said, "We are doing this forever. There's no, if somebody gets mad or I stopped loving you because it's if you say yes now, it's forever." Because one, I didn't want her and her sister to go through what I had to go through as a younger kid. Now, you know, life is great now where my parents are. You know, at the moment I was upset with them, but I'm very grateful for my stepmom and my stepdad. And there was a bitterness in my life, and it was a time where, the longest time, I didn't want to move on. And now she's dealt with the same thing. But there's so many times in marriages and family relationships, whatever it is that is going on, that we don't want to let them last because we get our feelings hurt. We allow a certain situation to come in and take control, and you start losing focus on all the good things and more concentrating on the bad things that are going on. You know, it was about 4 weeks ago, Amber and myself were riding down the road. I remember where we were at exactly. We were on, Pembroke. It goes into Friendly right there. And we had been talking about something. I was on my phone. I was supposed to have been off that day. And I was doing messages about something that was going on. I don't remember what it was. I texting and calling a lot. And she was like, "Can you just get off your phone?" And I was like, I got to send them this text or whatever. And as we were going around this curve, I remember they've always got a Duke flag hanging on their house. And she just looked at me with a tear in her eye. And she said, "I feel like I have to compete to get your attention." And that broke my heart. And ever since that day, you know, I've been trying to be conscious of my time. She wasn't off this Friday, so we didn't. I didn't get to spend time with her. But yesterday, you know, going throughout the day, I try to spend more time focusing on our family and what's important, as opposed to the stuff that's going around in the world around me. And I know ministry is a little tougher. You know, when people call and they need help, it's a little different. But there's still that time, that barrier where you can separate work and family, and devoting, you know, the love that you have for your family to them. Because in reality, God has called me to be a pastor, youth pastor, worship pastor. He's called me to be a husband and a father. So if I'm not doing that, then I'm failing him, and I'm failing in the love that I'm supposed to be showing to them. In the same way, you know, we get so busy and caught up in life, we allow life to take control of us. And that life starts pulling us out, and that's when the endurance of love starts disappearing. We lose our endurance because we start looking at the negative, and we start feeling like this is, I feel like this may be ending, so I'm ready to move on and try something else. Instead of saying, hey, I feel like this is ending, or something's wrong, what can we do to try to make this better? I went to the hospital this morning to see a student of mine. His mom texted me late last night. I was asleep because I got to bed early. But I got up this morning at 5 and looked at my phone. And she said, hey, so-and-so is in the hospital. Can you come talk to him? So I texted her. I said, hey, are you still there? I didn't hear nothing. So I just put my clothes on and went up there. And I said, hey, what happened? And he was hanging out with a friend last night. And the friend, they said, hey, I got some marijuana. You want to try it? And he said, sure. And turns out that the marijuana was laced with something. And he was, the friend dropped him off at his house. He was unconscious and he was throwing up all over the place. And the kid's dad was just holding him. He was limp. I mean, this is an 18-year-old kid. And so they took him to the hospital. But he's doing good this morning. And I asked him, I said, dude, what are you doing? What are you thinking? What are you wanting? What are you wanting in life right now? You just graduated high school. What's your next step? What's your plan? And you know, they were still flushing him, and he's still pretty out there. So he didn't say much, but I said, dude, you've got to look around you. Look at what you've got. You've got a mom and dad who love you. You've got your church, your youth who love you, and dude, you're wanting to throw this all away because you're wanting to be perceived as this cool guy. I said, dude, I know that he's had some things going on, and he had some anger. And I told him, I said, dude, I know that you're angry. And I haven't been where you're at, so I couldn't imagine where you're at. But you need to trust God and allow God's love to fill you so much that it flows in you and allows you to be able to cope and deal with this angriness, this hatred that you have, so that you can get through it. Because you cannot do this on your own. And I said, that is the only way that your relationship with anybody on this earth is going to last. I said, is if you allow God to come in and take control of it. And it's like that with any relationship. Our human instinct is to get mad and stay mad and hold that grudge. And that's why so many people are running from people from other people because we get our feelings hurt. We got to suck it up and keep pushing forward. Amber's going to do things. I'm going to do things that hurt her. She's going to do things that hurt me. But at the end of the day, she's stuck with me. So we got to do what's going to do what we got to do to make it go. And I would say this right here is the fuel. Verse 8, love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. That verse there, for prophecies, they come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. When I think of the knowledge part of that, I think of, we all have plans for life. Like, we do like life insurance or even health insurance in case something happens. Our salvation is like our real life insurance. You know, God is our ultimate provider, insurance provider, right? So when we buy into that relationship, when we say, "Hey, I'm going to invest in this. I'm putting all into it," that is what we know to be our future. And then he goes into, "For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will come to an end." So when Christ comes, all that we think we know will just be in part, because we will fully know because Jesus will come, and that's the greatness, the fullness of the love that we desire to have. I think the love that we all search for here on earth is partial love, because I think as humans, it's hard for us to love fully because of all the boundaries that we do set. And that's why there is no greater love than the love that God has for us. It says, "For we know in part and we prophesy in part. When the perfect comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child." There's the three words, it's like three actions or three thoughts or whatever that stick out. I spoke, I thought, and I reasoned. When you speak words. Any thought, you know, is just something that passes through your mind, and your reasoning is like your sense or your logic behind it. I think of my daughter here. We were laying on the trampoline Tuesday night. Amber and Adeline went inside, and we were just sitting there looking up at the trees, and it was beautiful. And I was thinking, you know, I've been studying about the sermon and stuff, thinking about love, and I said, "Kelly, how much do you love Daddy?" She said, "This much." That's what she always does. She just says this much, which her little arms are like this much. So, I was trying to just expand on it a little bit and say, how big do you love Daddy? Like, what would you compare it to? And in the moment, she was just looking around. I said, "What's the biggest thing that you know?" And she said, "The tree. I love you that much. It's as big as the tree." I was like, "Okay, that's pretty big." I said, "How about the world? Which one's bigger, the world or the tree?" She said, "The tree." I said, "Yes." See, she doesn't know what the world is because she can't comprehend that tree is actually sitting on the world. So when she speaks like a child, saying that the tree is bigger. And that's what her thought was and thinking and her reason behind it was, "I can't see this big thing, except for the fact I'm standing on it. But all I see is there's a huge tree right here, so that's the biggest thing I know, and I love you that much." Right? And it says, "When I became a man, I put aside these childish ways." We put aside the thinking of the unknown and the known. What we know right now is that God loves us. And we know that he intentionally sent his son to die for us because he loved us that much. And he desires for us to intentionally love him in the way that we live our lives. Whenever you accept Christ in your life, whenever you make that profession and you take that step and say, you know what, I'm all in. That's that life insurance we're talking about. It comes a time where you've got to know that I'm putting away my old self, my childish ways, and I'm going to allow God to be in control of this new ways. And now the knowledge that you will give me will be even greater, especially when we die and we go to heaven. He's going to fill us with all of his goodness. But we tend to want to hang on to the other side a little bit because we think we know and we think we've got it all figured out. It's hard for us to completely step over and completely invest because we're too scared to admit that we can't do it on our own. I know, for me personally, I think I've shared this with y'all before. I know I've shared it with the youth, but I am a very prideful person. I do not like asking for help. For 1 year, me and Amber saved up a little bit of money, and I surprised her. She went out of town with work for a trip. She was gone 2 days, and I had it in my mind that I was going to build a 16 by 16 deck in 2 days. And Kylie was little, so I had a little girl with me, and not much help. So I called my brother and said, "Hey, man, I'm doing this on Thursday morning. I want you to be at my house and help me set the post." He helped me set the post, and he left, so I did the rest of it until it came time for Friday. That's when Forrest, wherever he might be, he came over and helped me screw down a whole bunch of decking boards and the banisters. And we completed it in 2 days. And that for me to even call and ask them to help me was like earth-shattering. Because I just don't do that. One of the things that I've struggled with is when I mentally need help with something, or I'm struggling with something, it's hard for me to talk about it because I don't want anybody to think that I'm mentally weak or I can't handle a situation. And a lot of times, you know, I always go to the grocery store. Well, not all. But like if I go up to the grocery store up here at Lowe's Foods or something, there's this one guy, seems like he always checks me out if I go there. And he said, "Hey, man, how you doing?" I say, "Fantastic." Sometimes I'll say, "Wonderful." And I'll say, "Marvelous." He's like, "Dude, you're always like chipper." I'm like, "That's a good word." But I got to thinking, I said, "Am I really like that, what I say I am?" Just a few minutes before that, you know, I'm sitting here complaining in my mind about, you know, something that's going on or something that's got to happen or go down or whatever. And I let it get to me and it beats me up. And I told the first service, you know, with Kylie when she was younger. One time she was crying, screaming, crying. It was right after Amber went back after maternity leave. I didn't know what to do. I was like, "I fed you. You won't go to sleep, so obviously you're not sleepy," which that is not how it works. They need to be like rocked and just, they sense your anger and your frustration. I mean, they're like little, like psychic readers or something. I don't know. But she would scream. And so I finally got to the point one time, I was very frustrated. I didn't want to scream around her, because she was already screaming. There's too much noise going on in the room. So there's like those little bouncy seat things, and they have little things that they can hit. She didn't like it, but I set her down in it anyway. So I just set her down, and I said, "I'll be right back." I walked out on the back porch, and I screamed really loud. I just said, like a, "Ha!" Busted a blood vessel in my head. And then I just laughed. I was like, "Yeah, this is stupid, Dale." And in my head, I started singing, "Lord, I need you, oh, I," and he's just like laughing at me, you know. So I went inside and I picked up Adeline, Kylie, that's the new one. Kylie, and I said, Lord, I need you. Oh, and her eyes just started going to sleep. I was like, see, God, we got to trust in you. You know, it comes that time where you've got to say, I can't do this. And that is the childishness that is inside of us. We don't want to rely on God. We don't want to rely on anybody because we think that we got it. When in reality, we are weak and he is strong and we're not going to get nowhere without him. Verse 12. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I will fully know as I am fully known. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Tuesday night, you know, going back to the trampoline situation, I asked Callie, I said, do you always love Daddy? She said, yeah. And this was prior to her being mad at Amber. That hadn't happened yet. I said, do you always love Daddy? She said, yeah. I said, like, in pieces or like in big parts or all the way? And she said, all the way. I said, what if I hurt you? What if I said something that you didn't like? Would you still love Daddy? She said, no. Like, so if I took your last, I think I said cookie. I said, so if I took the last cookie, would you be mad at Daddy? Would you love Daddy still? She said, no. I was like, that's sad, Kylie, because we can always get more cookies. And she said, I love you, Daddy. I was like, that's right. But love, it's most time we tend to love in pieces. We want to give partially because we're scared to put our hands in completely in somebody else's life, put our whole life, our whole heart. Because so many times we get broken, we get heartbroken. And when we do, it's harder. It's even harder for us to hand that heart over to somebody else. But our heart is so much safer in God's hands than it is anybody else's hands. He came, he made us in his image. We're brothers and sisters with Christ. Jesus is like our brother and our sister. Ladies, you're his sister. But God gave us his heart fully, and he expects us to give it back. There's so much stuff in our lives that we let chain us down. We just got through finishing and Chains Fall. It's called Holy Ground. It's an awesome song. We learned it at camp, and Megan text me like that day or that night we heard it at camp, said, hey, we've got to do this song at church. And she texted me last week, said, hey, I'm ready to do this song. I said, all right, next Sunday's perfect, let's do it. But the fact that God has the power, his love has the power to take all that away from us. Right now I think it's even hard for us to even comprehend that, because we don't really know what full love is or unconditional love is. This song, if I can get the band to come back up here and Laura, they're gonna do this song. And if you want to stand up and worship, you can. But I really want to encourage you to you can read the words on the screen, but if you can just close your eyes and take in the meaning of the song, I want y'all to understand like where this sermon comes from is mainly in the two lines of the. You do not give your heart in pieces. You do not hide yourself to tease us, God. You put yourself out there and you say, here I am. And it's our job to choose whether or not that we run up and give him a hug. So y'all listen to this song.